we're back again.
Yeah, trying to recover from that shit last night.
I feel okay.
Yeah, I feel all right.
Like I said, taking 3 aspirin right before you go to bed and drinking a bunch of water.
I just woke
up
early.
It really does work.
I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
You know what's weird? I don't think... I woke up one time because I had to go to the bathroom, but like... I don't think I woke up, and then I didn't wake up again until 8 something.
Woke up, felt rested. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. The cat was fucking with me.
Well, yeah.
And I was just going like, man, why am I up so early? I finally went back to sleep, though, probably around 4.
And then you slept till like 9.
And I slept till 9, yeah. But it was just a weird way of doing it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I did it that way.
Well, you know, you gotta just as long as you get your hours in there. I was laying awake for a long time because Pookie decided she was gonna sleep. She curls up like right next to my hip.
Yeah.
And then so it's, I can't really, I feel bad about moving her, you know, because she looks so comfortable.
Yeah. Okay, the Night Stalker series on Netflix.
On Netflix.
It was good.
I actually really, and you know, I know enjoy is kind of a weird word to use. So it's 4 episodes, and the episodes are what, like 45, 50 minutes each?
Yeah. You can binge watch them and go through them.
Yeah, we watched them just all sitting.
It's an easy binge watch, because it kept us in there. And that must have been, what, 6 hours of it?
Yeah. Well, no, because I think it's only... I think it's only maybe 4 hours.
Was it?
Or maybe a little bit less than 4
Seemed
hours.
Seemed to go by fast.
It did, and I really have to say, much like the recent one they did on the Yorkshire Ripper, I like that they kind of shift focus a little bit, and they don't talk about Ramirez as a person as much. They kind of focus more on the victims, the cops, you know, the media that was covering it, like what was going on in the culture, like the whole cultural kind of context of it. And I think they did that with the Yorkshire Ripper one, too. And I kind of like that because I feel like, you know, a lot of true crime series, and I love watching a lot of true crime shit. And, you know, I can't really criticize too much because, I read a lot about serial killers and find them fascinating and stuff. But I do kind of feel like a lot of things, you know, you're kind of in danger of glorifying the serial killer going, look, he's, you know, look how cool and badass this dude is. So I kind of like that this didn't really do that. They didn't even, like, say the name until the end of the third episode, like, where, because it was very, very focused on, you know, it kind of went in real time, sort of, like, you know, in the timeline of how they did the investigation, how they found out the shit and everything like that. So I feel like, I mean, it was mostly they talked to Frank Salerno, who was one of the investigators on it, who also, because I'm sure we've mentioned him before, because he's quite famous in true crime circles, because he did the Hillside Strangler case, like, you know, a few years before this. And so he was kind of the old grizzled cop, you know, when the Richard Ramirez shit started happening. And then you got this other guy, Gil Carrillo, and he was kind of, at that time, he was kind of like the young upstart detective, and they teamed up together, and they were pretty much the first ones to realize that this was a serial killer, because, I mean, we did a show about Richard Ramirez. If you don't know, Richard Ramirez is one of the very, very, very few serial killers. I'm sure there's a couple other ones out there, but not very many, that didn't really have a victim profile. He didn't have a particular way that he liked killing. He just kept changing it up.
What was the guy's name? Carrillo?
Yeah, Carrillo.
Carrillo, yeah. Carrillo was a young Chicano guy from fucking Southern California.
Yeah.
And he was kind of new to all this shit. And he was the first one to kind of... He had a good hunch. He came forward and he says, they were having these child abductions where these children were getting raped, girls and boys. It was mostly girls, I think.
Yeah.
And then he was letting them go. And then they were finding houses burglarized with people raped, tortured, killed in it. And Korea was like, this is the same dude. And all the other detectives laughed him off. Except that one senior.
Except Frank Salerno.
Frank Salerno.
He was like, I think you might be right about that.
Frank Salerno approached him fucking at the bar. You know, they were drinking and eating, and he was just like, I want you to work with me and shit, you know, fucking.
Yeah,
and they hooked up. And turned out, that dude was right all along. His instincts were right. That was the same dude. They kept finding the same footprints, that same shoe print.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the main thing that linked all the crimes, because other than that, they never found any other evidence. They never found any fingerprints. They never found anything like that. And as I said, the dude seemed, I mean, he just would attack people randomly. He didn't give a shit if it was like old people, kids, men, women. He didn't give a shit. He was
just an opportunist.
Yeah, he was just like whoever's fucking sliding glass door was unlocked or whoever had a window kind of open or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think he even stalked anybody or anything. I think he just kind of went around and, you know, opportunity. And, you know, he would even do shit like, and they had this one woman on there that when she was 6 years old, Richard Ramirez kidnapped her and put her in like a fucking gym bag or something like that and took her to his house, presumably, and just raped her over and over and did all kind of horrible shit to her.
Yeah, and he let her go.
And then just let her go. Like, yeah, left her at a gas station. Hey, go call the cops or go call your parents or something.
Yeah, he let a lot of them go if he abducted them. But it was, you know, the way the story's told is pretty good. Carino was like, they'd see that footprint at the scene, that shoe print. He'd point at it like that. Fucking his partner look at it, and they said their hair would fucking stand up. I can imagine what that'd feel like.
Yeah, there's that. They fucking kept seeing shoe that print scene, again.
And they were keeping that tied under wraps. They didn't want anybody to know that they were.
Yeah, because they didn't want him to change his shoes.
You're right, and that eventually did leak out. That they had his footprint. What, didn't it? Didn't somebody say? No, yeah, no, but it leaked out about the writing on the walls.
No, the thing about the shoes did leak out.
It did leak out. Right.
And then what ended up happening was that somebody in the police, I guess, it wasn't one of them, I don't think, told the media for whatever reason. And then the media, they're like, we're going to go public with it. And the cops were like, hey, can you not do that? Because
he'll change his shoes.
He'll change his shoes. And then it'll be harder for us to kind of like figure out which ones he did or not. So I think they didn't actually break it because they said, oh, well, we're going to print it. But, you know, if you guys give us an exclusive interview or something, then we won't print that.
Right.
It just seems like all you should have to do is just say, hey, can you not print that? Because, you know, we need that piece of information for our investigation and we don't want him being tipped off because Ramirez was obviously watching the news and like following the shit.
Yeah, but you fuck reporters, man.
Well, the ones on here were real dickheads, I have to say. I mean, that's like, they didn't really, it seemed like they didn't really care. It's like, all they cared about was like the story and like the ad revenue and shit like that.
They'll hinder an investigation and get people killed just for a story. We know the deal. There should be laws against that, where if they give out information that they should get punished for it. If it hinders an investigation.
I mean, there's a reason. Yes, the public has a right to know to an extent, but there's a reason why
the details.
There's a reason why they keep details like that under wraps, you know, for that exact reason.
Well, they get swarmed with copycats, too.
Yeah.
Based on the details. Some of the details they give out are fakes, so they can tell the copycats apart.
Because some weirdos like to confess to crimes
That they didn't
falsely. And like, if you just come up with the details that were in the media that was fed to them by the cops, then they'll know.
It's a good telling of the story. And it really doesn't get into Ramirez himself that much. It's just mostly the investigation.
Yeah, it's not like a biography of him, which I think is good.
Yeah, they just show films of him from the time and some of the shit that he said in the courtrooms. They really didn't go into what his motives were. You know, I think just very, very briefly, very superficially. But they didn't go into the whole fucking Night Stalker fucking story, you know, and the devil and shit. They didn't really, because they didn't want it. That dude was full of shit. He was just a rapist.
He was an edgelord.
Yeah.
He was, that's like the worst kind of edgelord, which is like, ooh, I want to be super scary. So I'm like, look, I'm the devil is telling me what to do. And so I'm like, man, fuck off with that shit.
He was a weak man. He was.
Yeah.
He's a weak man. He was fucking, I don't know, maybe about 5'11", and a dude probably weighed about 125 pounds. I said on the other show, it would be like fighting a kite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He creeped in, shot the man. He would shoot the man in the head at point blank with a 22 automatic pistol. You know, which, not very powerful, but it's quiet. And then he'd shoot the women or capture the women, you know, if anybody gave him any problem. And then he'd go after the kids, if there were kids in the house. He was a shitbag.
Yeah, he was just a complete fucking dirtbag. And as I said, he didn't even really have much of an MO. Like, he would, he didn't do things the same way. It's like a lot of times, like you said, he would kidnap a kid and take him someplace and, you know, repeatedly sexually assault them and then just let them go. He would break into people's houses, old people, young people. He didn't really give a shit.
Dude didn't bathe, smelled like a fucking goat.
Yeah, they said one librarian dirty. That yeah. was talking about him and said that he'd come in. He didn't know, who, yeah. you know, obviously who it was then, but he knew later on.
Said
and
he said, yeah, stank
that he smelled like a goat. Yeah. And you know what's funny is that, you know, it's like famously how disgusting his fucking teeth are.
Yeah.
So they knew how disgusting his teeth were. So they, cause that was something that a lot of the survivors had said, like he had the grossest ass teeth, like a lot of them were missing. So they presumed they somehow found out, like where his dentist was. Right. Cause he had like yeah. a dentist in Chinatown. I can't remember. I think they just found, like a business card for that dentist and they presume since he had shitty teeth that it's like, okay, well, this is where this dude is. So they staked out this fucking dental office. And then there was some kind of interdepartmental crap where like one of the departments was like, oh, you guys don't have to have your officers sitting in this dentist office every day. We'll put an alarm there. So that if he comes in, the doctor can hit the alarm going, hey, he's here right now. And then the cops can like run in and get him. So, Salerno and the other guy were kind of like, okay, we don't really want to do that, but whatever. And so they put the alarm bell in there. And then, you know, the day after the cops left, because they had cops physically sitting in there every single day in the dentist's office waiting for this dude to come back. And then, so the last day they leave, you know, Richard Ramirez hasn't been back. The day after they left, Richard Ramirez came in and the doctor kept pushing the alarm, but the alarm didn't work.
Damn.
So they could have got him, like, all the way back then. And it was, like, really sad. And finally, like, the doctor called the investigators and was like, why didn't you guys come? It's like, he was in here today. And he's like, I kept pushing the alarm button and, like, nothing happened. And it was just, like, that was, like, so, so shitty. And, but there's a couple things about this case, though. I mean, how many people did he have? He ended up, they don't even know how many he killed. Because I think there were some in the 2000s that they found out that he did later. Like murdering a little girl and shit like that. I think he was convicted of 13 murders, 5 attempted murder, 11 rapes, and 14 burglary charges. Because he would like come in and, you know, ransack your fucking house too. Like,
yeah.
And I think we talked about last night a little bit, like that one couple that the dude got shot in the head and then he didn't die. And then like he chased
yeah.
fucking Ramirez out the fucking door.
Yeah, Ramirez shot one dude in the fucking head with a 25, little 25 auto. That fucking bullet fucking bounced off his skull like that. Because if the angle's wrong, 25 will just bounce off. It's round. It's a little round bullet. Doesn't weigh much. It's not moving very fast. And they're shooting it out of a real, usually it's shot out of a real short barreled, super subcompact pistol. You know, they're just not known for penetration. Not known for being particularly deadly. He shot the dude and it fucking bounced off the corner of his skull and that dude fucking ran right at him.
He's like, oh no, you don't.
Yeah, and fucking Ramirez panicked and ran. He tried to catch him. He made it out though, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he made it out. I don't think the guy ever got a hold of him.
No.
But like I said, the dude didn't weigh anything, you know what I mean? There was nothing to him. He just was tall and had a fucking scary looking face. He looked like the devil. That's why he thought he was the devil. He just looked like the devil.
Plus, his upbringing, they didn't go a lot into it on the show. I kind of know about it because we did a show about him. But he had a real fucked up childhood. And like I said, not excusing it because a lot of people did and they turned out just fine. But he didn't really have a childhood where, I mean, he was just like constantly beaten. He, you know, his cousin like shot his wife in front of him and was like, hey, look how awesome that is and shit like that. And showed him all the people he killed and beheaded in Vietnam and all this other kind of shit when he was little. So he had a real fucked up, and he just seemed like, even when you see pictures of him, it looks like there's nothing in there. You yeah. know what I mean? He just looks like,
I think it was partially genetic too.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it was.
The shit that he went through in a kid wasn't enough to do that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Because, you know, some people, you know, lots of people have fucked up childhoods just, and don't turn out to be serial. Because there has to be something else.
It wasn't anything to him, so that's the route that he took, if you ask me.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have had an identity otherwise. Yeah. Not one that he would have earned. He didn't really have any skills or anything.
No.
There was really nothing to him, so.
Yeah, he was just like a scuzzbag.
He decided he was going to be the devil.
Yeah.
He was going to get in with the devil and listen to AC/DC.
Yeah, and I think he thought he was, like, being cool. It's like, oh, I'm, like, a Satanist and blah, blah. And I think we talked about... I think one of the best things about the story was that I guess he didn't know that they knew who he was, because he had been arrested for something else. I think it was, like, Grand Theft Auto or some shit like that. So they had a mugshot of him when they found out that this is the dude that it probably was. So they published the mugshot in the paper, and I guess Richard Ramirez didn't know, and he goes to, like, a fucking, what was it, a convenience store or something like that, and then sees his ugly ass face all over the newspapers and starts flipping out, and then he runs out and gets on a bus, and, like, people on the bus, like, fucking recognized him and were like, that's him, and then, like, fucking, you know what I mean,
mob
and then, like,
people chase and him
a mob of people chase him down the fucking street and started beating the absolute shit out of him with, like, a tire iron or pipe or something like that. And they were just, like, just wailing on him. And I'm just like, I kind of feel like maybe
the cops for safety.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the cops should have just been, like,
backing
away. Yeah, it's just, because they would have torn that dude to pieces if the cops hadn't come.
He ran to the cops for safety, if I remember correctly.
I think he did, like, he
or at
ran
least some account said
they're
that.
They're hitting me!
Yeah. Help, help!
Naturalist, you know, that's... That's always the way, isn't it? Those fucking type of people. They're just like, now they're the victim suddenly. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, this shithead, like I said, I mean, one of the worst things, I don't even think I remember knowing this detail before, but one of his early crimes, I think he raped and killed the woman, and then he cut her eyeballs out and put them in her jewelry box and took the jewelry box with him so he could, like, keep her eyeballs.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. He thought he was doing some devil shit.
Yeah. It's like, what? I don't know.
He's full of shit.
He's so gross. And
did they ever find out where he lived? Yeah. They had to have, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they found his...
Because the witnesses said he lived in filth.
Yeah, why? That's not surprising, is it?
Yeah, his apartment was just...
He looked like he just stunk. I mean, and everybody, and a lot of people said that, too. Like I said, that librarian that said that he would come in there, like, said he just smelled like a goat. You could smell him from, like, a long time away.
Fucked up rotten-ass teeth.
And his fucked up rotten-ass teeth. Yeah, he had fucking meth mouth big time. Yeah. I don't know what his fucking problem was. But,
somebody said he only ate junk food.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that, there are a lot of, this shouldn't be a problem for people that follow true crime, but there are a lot of photographs of the crime scenes in this. Like, not, I don't know. They usually show, like, kind of partial ones. They don't show, like, really, 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 really bad ones. But, and usually they kind of blur the faces out or, like, put, like, a little bit, like, a black box over the face. You know what I mean? Like, just out of respect for the victims, I guess. But it's some of the crime scene photos are pretty gross and pretty upsetting. So I'm just saying, like I said, I don't think I've just because it's just because I've seen like a few reviews that said, oh, man, it's like I really wish they wouldn't have shown some of those pictures because they were like really.
I didn't think they were that graphic.
I didn't think they were
they
either.
Just give
but
you the idea of what happened, you know, kind of what the scene looked like. Some of the shit was pretty bloody. You know what I mean? He was bashing people in the head with shit, shooting people in the head. There'd be blood everywhere, but it's not anything our audience couldn't handle. I mean, it's it, you know.
Yeah,
it's not that graphic.
I mean, obviously, I'm bothered by it because it's real people, but it, you know, I've seen like a lot worse. But I don't, you know, I'm just saying that they, and I thought it was interesting too that they had a lot of interviews with people. Because remember that one couple that. She was like sitting on the couch or something and her husband was like in bed or whatever. And she heard somebody like at the window or like opening the window. And then she thought it was her husband and like sat up and was like, hey, whatever the husband's name was. And then I guess whoever was outside like ran away. And then when the cops came, they found that same shoe print outside of their fucking window.
Yeah.
And it's like, a good thing that she just sat up and yelled because that made him run away. He would have busted in and killed him.
No, she made the husband go check.
Yeah.
Yeah, she made the husband go check. He went out there and he fucking ran away. But they got his footprint, proved it. Cop put a damn thing over the footprint. Wasn't it where they put the box over the footprint?
Yeah.
The same case?
Well, the guy, because that house, like the guy that lived there was a cop.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, he was off duty, obviously, but because he was home, he was like sleeping.
Yeah.
But, so he knew.
Yeah.
You know, when he saw the shit under the window.
Karina shut up and says, oh man, you're lucky this dude get in your house. This is a bad dude. This is a really bad
dude. Because nobody knew who it was. Like I said, it wasn't really common knowledge at the time that this was the same person, like, doing all this stuff. Because not only were the crimes, a lot of the crimes, like, vastly different. Like, people didn't know, like, all the child abductions and then all the killings and robberies and stuff and rapes were the same person because it was just all these different kind of crimes. But he also committed crimes in a bunch of different areas, like, because he did, like, mostly in and around LA, but then he did some in San Francisco also. And at one point too, like, this again, I like that they kind of focused, the main focus is Frank Salerno and Gil Carrillo. And they're talking about how they figured certain shit out, and also talking about how the case, like, affected them, like, affected their lives and affected their families. Because at one point Ramirez killed somebody, I can't remember if it's just one person or two people, like, only a 5-minute drive away from Carrillo's house. And so his wife and kids had to go someplace else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, into hiding, because they were afraid. They were like, you know, they said it's really, really hard to fathom how terrified everybody was in LA, just because, you know, it wasn't like you say, oh, he only goes after prostitutes or real life. He always went after anybody. Yeah. It was anybody, and he could have been anywhere.
This would make a really good movie. I'm sure they've made movies about this
before.
Because the story sounds like a movie script. And you could write it around Carrillo. His name Carrillo, right?
Carrillo,
yeah. Write it around Carrillo as the young cop who kind of gets in with Salerno, you know what I mean? Fucking. And he's on this big case and trying to solve it, and he's stressing out because his family's at home. He can't watch his family. He's chasing the fucking Night Stalker, and his family's in the Night Stalker's territory. And so he's getting all these sleepless nights, big case, and finally cracks the case. It's just a good story.
And the way they
make really good movies with this.
The way they kind of solved it. I think they made, I'm pretty sure they made a movie called Night Stalker. When was it? 2012, I want to say. But I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I feel like David Fincher needs to make this. You know what I mean?
It almost sounds like fiction, but it isn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean,
you could tell the plot accurately and it would seem like a cop movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's how it really happened.
But
And here's something else, people, is you got to understand that a case like this is a once-in-a-lifetime case for a cop. Most cops don't get a case like this. It's once-in-a-lifetime. Salerno had two. He had two in a lifetime.
Yeah, because he did Hillside Strangler as
right.
well.
But for the average detective, they don't get it. This is like once-in-a-lifetime case. So,
well, thankfully.
So getting on the case, though, is a huge, like, it's like a huge boost into your fucking reputation if you solve it, if you're on the case, that if you cracked it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your career fucking would blow up. You know?
Yeah.
And
because everybody was so,
a good story.
Everybody was just so fucking relieved to get this, you know, jackwagon off the fucking
street.
Even
though they didn't catch him, but they were going, they did catch him in a certain way because they figured out who he was.
Well, they figured out who he was.
And putting his face in the paper got him caught.
Got him caught. Yeah. Because
the fucking neighborhood got credit for the arrest. You know, for the actual
arrest. Because immediately
they said they had huge parties afterwards, and you know,
yeah,
the
when
whole
they were taking
fucking, the whole
well, because everyone was so relieved, they were fucking terrified of this dude. Because they didn't know who he was. They didn't know what he looked like. There were a couple of drawings of him. But it's like you never knew where he was going to turn up. It's like, you know what I mean? Fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it was kind of like a scene where the fucking local community and the cops were bonding over the catching the dude together. It was kind of like the end of Return of the Jedi with the fucking nub-nub. Nub-nub. Get in, nub-nub. That's what they were doing.
That was a weird association. I get what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking about? The second Death Star is destroyed. Yep.
Yay, we got Richard Ramirez.
Fireworks and shit.
That's so fucking funny. But yeah. So yeah, if you're really into true crime, you really got to watch this. I mean, it's just, there was a lot of, I knew a lot about the case, but I'm really, really glad that they kind of went a lot more into victims, people that, you know, people that survived, people that kind of had close calls, and, you know, talked about the cops and how it affected the cops and how it affected the community. I kind of wish, the only thing, I wish they would have gone a little bit more into just the fucking, God, that interdepartmental kind of shit where it's like, oh, they don't want to share information with the other police departments and all this other kind of crap. Because I feel like that's a big thing that happens in a lot of these big cases, you know, especially serial killers that kill in different jurisdictions. And it's almost kind of like they're just being petty little bitches, being like, no, we don't want to share information with you because we want to get all the credit and blah, blah, blah. And then it's, and meanwhile, people are getting fucking murdered just for your stupid fucking ego.
That's what they
do. You know what I mean? So I was just like, I really wish they'd gone a little bit more into that. But it, like I said, the focus of it was really on the cops and the investigation and, you know, the shit about the shoe print and the shit about the dentist's office and all that kind of stuff. So, which I really find interesting. I like all that kind of forensic investigation stuff. And I'm glad that they kind of downplayed. Although we did talk about on the show a little bit last night that after he got caught, and of course he turned the courtroom into like, look how awesome I am. I'm like a fucking rock star. And then like all these, he would have like fucking groupies and stuff like turning up in the fucking courtroom with all the fucking victims' families there and shit like that. And like this woman, you know, her grandma got killed for fuck's sake. And, so she's like, I had to leave the courtroom for a little while. And she's like, and I go out there and sit on the bench. And there's like a dude sitting next to me that had like a pentagram. Honestly, he was one of his fanboys. And she was just like, fuck me. And it was like really horrible. Yeah. And then afterward, like all those fucking women that sent, like just way too many women, like sending him
naked
pictures of themselves. Didn't he end up marrying one of those fucking groupies or some shit like that?
I wonder if he got him some new teeth. When he was in prison.
I hope not. I don't think taxpayers should have to pay for that shit.
He could pull all his teeth out and give him dentures.
Yeah, that'd probably be the only thing to do, because the ones he had left were just so fucking nasty.
Yeah, he probably lost all those teeth.
He's just a disgusting, disgusting motherfucker. Yeah. But yeah, all right.
Going to prison is probably the cleanest he ever was.
Well, yeah, now that you put it that way.
It's probably like a big move up.
Because I feel like the other prisoners aren't going to let you walk around smelling like ass crack all fucking day long.
They probably would have kept him in some kind of a maximum security cell where he couldn't interact with other people too much.
Yeah. That's
probably what they would have done. I don't know if they would have him in general population. You had to go back and check. No, because they said that they put him in a special cell. Well, that was at the central lockup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had him in the same cell where they had Bianca.
Bianchi. Yeah.
And he was...
The Hillside Strangler. He was like, ooh, it's the like, famous dude's cell. I'm a big fan of his work.
Yeah.
Fucking serial killers, man. That's the fucking grossest. Yeah, and like, Seth was like, how does a rotten tooth stinking serial killer get a bunch of groupies? See, that's what I'd like to know. The fuck's the matter with you ladies? And I was watching like another review of this, and somebody had, I don't think this was in the documentary, but there was actually a clip from his trial, and there was this goth chick who kind of looked like, what's-her-face, Winona Ryder from Beetlejuice or whatever, and she had come to see him, and she had written him letters and all this other kind of stuff, and the reporter was like, you know he's, like, a serial killer and has killed, like, a whole bunch of people, and she's just like, yeah, and I was just like, oh my god, you need to be punched. All those women need to be punched. I don't get it. But so it's good. If you're into true crime, if you're into, you want to know more about the Night Stalker, you want to know more about the investigation, because like I said, it's more about that than about him, which I liked. Then it's on Netflix. It's 3.5-4 hours time commitment, and it's worth it. Is that all we have to say about it? All right. So we will be back again tomorrow talking about another movie. I got a new one I got to watch tonight, and I have another one that I watched the other day that I will probably review on Tuesday. So we will talk to you guys again tomorrow. Have a good rest of your weekend.